It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline, Dick Durbin, Senator, Senior Senator of the state of Illinois.
Hi, Senator.
Hi, Anna. Well, how are you doing?
Very, very well. We got a lot to talk about with you, sir. There are many things happening in our little world here that are, well, I'm not going to lie to you, Senator, kind of unnerving. Kind of unnerving. But I know that you have been one of those guys who has, you know, tried to put your arms or hands around and escort through the halls of the Senate. Merrick Garland, the guy that the president thinks should be the next Supreme Court justice, a Chicago area guy, right? From originally, I think he went to Niles West, right? I think
that's right.
And considered to be a very, very, very fair-minded and qualified person for the Supreme Court. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this. There's no sense here that Republicans in the Senate currently are in control of the Senate, are going to allow this to happen, right?
Well, I can tell you, this is the first time ever, that a presidential nominee to fill a vacancy on the Supreme Court has been denied a hearing and a vote. It's never happened before. When President Ronald Reagan was in office in the last year of his presidency, there was a Supreme Court vacancy. He recommended Anthony Kennedy, and a Democratic Senate had a hearing and a vote and approved his nominee. So this has never happened before, and the American people have noticed it. I'm in deep southern Illinois, hundreds of miles from Chicago. The questions are about this vacancy on the Supreme Court. People see this and don't understand why the president isn't allowed to fill this vacancy.
Now, there was talk of some sort of recess appointment. That's not possible.
No, it isn't, and I wouldn't recommend it anyway. The Constitution says explicitly the president shall name a nominee to fill a vacancy. It goes on to say the responsibility of the Senate is advise and consent. Not consent, advise and consent. That means at least a hearing, ask the hard questions under oath, and then vote. And that's what we've done throughout the history of this country. This is the first time that we've deviated from this.
And I saw a story today, Senator, about how the Supreme Court is taking fewer cases right now, that their caseload has been down. Is that, do you think, directly representative of the fact that we don't have a full Supreme Court?
I think it might be. I was in the court 2 weeks ago for one of their oral arguments, and I listened to it, and I thought, boy, that's a 4-4 vote on that court. Mm-hmm. I wonder what they're going to do with it, because if you have a split court, 4-4, it leaves in doubt across the United States whether a law is going to be enforced. It is a bad outcome, and I believe that when the people who wrote the Constitution sat down and wrote Article 2, they said to the president, you shall nominate someone to fill the appointment. They don't want a court at less than full complement.
Right. Well, and you have to wonder, and it's the court's business, too. I mean, that's one of the mysteries, right, about that third branch of government, which is that they may be making decisions, too, because, again, it goes down. The precedent becomes that of the lower court, the decision lower court on a 4-4 tie. Mm-hmm. So I believe that I can imagine, and I don't know if you have any insight into this, Senator, but I can imagine that there are some justices that are pretty peeved about this on both sides because
Well, I think there should be. I mean, it's been, you have to go back to the Civil War to find a situation where the court will not have a full complement of 9 justices for more than a year. And that's what's in the works here if the Republican majority in the Senate has its way.
One of the reasons you have 9 and not 8 is so you don't have split decisions, which is
what we're
starting to see a lot of. And doesn't settle the matter for the law of the land that we were looking for with all these different issues and very serious issues facing Americans.
For sure. And I wonder if just the craziness. May I use that term, Senator?
In this election cycle, is craziness okay?
Yes, craziness of this election cycle has the even Republican leadership up on the Hill, and specifically even Senate leadership, unsure of what to do here because they're not sure. You know, one-third of the Republican senators are up for election right now in this year. I think actually even more because I think there's some replacement. Yeah, there's some transition elections as well. So this is, you know, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do if, in fact, it's a Donald Trump candidate in the Republican Party. And, you know, I wonder if once that is settled, if there will be some form of reconciliation here before the fall session starts for the Supreme Court.
Well, I hope so, but I'm doubtful, because I think what's going to happen here, and it's already started, is candidates are being asked, Republican candidates are going to be asked, are you going to support the nominee of the party if it's Donald Trump? And some of them are refusing to answer until after the convention. Some have come out and said, well, we'll support him. But there are many, many Republicans in Washington concerned about his impact on the congressional races and other races on the ticket.
Yeah. Well, I think Democrats, too, are going to – it's going to be an interesting year for them, too, because Hillary is in a more of a struggle than I think anybody anticipated against Bernie Sanders. I think even Bernie Sanders, I would venture to say he's one of the more surprised guys in this whole thing, too.
And, well, of course.
Right? And I mean, so
– Bernie gets started, you know, most of us said, well, he's a great old fella, and you'll just see how this plays out. We all anticipated it would be short-lived. Well, then he breaks all the records in American politics on fundraising small contributions on the Internet. Mm-hmm. And he has this backing. He starts winning some primaries and caucuses, and he becomes a credible candidate. Now, the math is not on his side. Hillary Clinton will be the nominee, and I'm encouraged that 2 weeks ago he has said, you know, that he is going to work to make sure that Donald Trump is not the next president. I think our party will unify when it's over. I hope it will. We're going to need his help to do it.
But he's saying he will stay in the race and continue on, potentially to the convention.
Well, you know, my point of view is he's entitled to. He can stay in as long as he wants to stay in. He has run a credible campaign. As I said, he has really attracted millions of votes and thousands of followers. We want them to feel that they're part of the process and part of the party. There is no quick exit for Bernie Sanders. He will make that decision at the appropriate time.
Well, I wonder this. There's two things that happen here. First of all, you've got his followers, right, that do need to get folded in, and he's got to appeal to them. But to follow up on this notion of he says he's going to stay in, we've seen guys say they were going to stay in at a morning press conference and get out by lunchtime, right? So that I don't know that we necessarily can, you know, count on that. It really depends on, you know, how much money is left. His donations
have
gone way, way, way down.
True.
So I think that there's a lot of other factors that are gonna play here. And maybe he does wish to, you know, come to some sort of a deal too, with this in terms of how he's going to pay off the whatever money is remaining out there. But I want to ask you though, you know, moving forward here, I mean, Donald Trump has, you know, he's got the scorched earth policy. He seems to have employed it effectively against other Republicans. No one took him seriously in the Republican Party. And yet he's won the thing. I think there's a lot of confidence amongst Democrats that, oh, don't worry about it. You know, Hillary Clinton is qualified and she's, you know, she's a household name and she'll be just fine against Donald Trump. I don't know that that's true. What are the American people on both sides of this aisle trying to tell us?
Well, you know, anyone who has any experience in this business would be naive to count anyone out at this point. We still have months to go. Can't predict what's going to occur in the months that follow until the November election. I think we're in a strong position. I think that we've had a primary that has been spirited, but it has been respectful in most instances. I think the other side has had a knockdown dragout up to this point, and it's still continuing between Cruz and Trump. And some of the things that have been said about Senator Cruz, for example, even by Speaker Boehner, I won't repeat on the radio, you know, are in evidence of the deep personal and emotional feelings that a lot of people have about these candidates.
Yeah.
So, you know, I won't take anything for granted, but I do believe that many Republicans are not prepared to accept Trump as the nominee, and what they're going to do afterwards remains to be seen.
I'm going to read between those lines, Senator. Hey, I do want to ask you about this, a very serious story. U.S. Navy SEAL was killed in Iraq as a result of what's being called a coordinated and complex attack by 100 ISIS fighters about 30 clicks north of Mosul. And the U.S. did respond very heavily with air-to-ground fire, and I believe 20 bombs were being told were used in this to try to take out those 100 ISIS fighters. Do you know anything more about that, and what are your thoughts?
No, what I've heard and what my staff has briefed me on is this was a special advisor. What we're trying to do is to provide just enough advisors in the hundreds of American special forces to really guide and lead the local forces to fight ISIS. You don't want to send tens of thousands of American soldiers into combat. We've been through that before. It didn't work. You know, and we paid a heavy, heavy price. 4,844 Americans died in the war in Iraq. Tens of thousands came home injured. So we basically said to Iraq, if this is worth fighting for, then you lead the fight. We'll help you. We'll coordinate. We'll provide air support. And here we have the inevitable outcome of this kind of adventure. Someone is going to be in harm's way. Someone could be injured or killed. And today, sadly, it was the latter. Mm-hmm. So this is a reality. And those who are calling for tens of thousands of American troops to be sent there, I don't think twice. We've done that. We paid a heavy price for it.
And one last thing about this sort of on again, off again, Russian-American military kind of the Russians are testing us. I don't know to what degree we're testing them, but you've had flybys of U.S. Navy ships. You've had flyby of aircraft now. On the Kamchatka Peninsula, U.S. Navy aircraft were out in open waters off the Russian borders in the Pacific Ocean, and there was a close encounter. Do we know what is going on there? Is that Putin or is that generals or why is this happening?
Well, I saw the videos. You probably saw them too. Mm-hmm. And we were told by our military that the commander of the destroyer had every right to fire at these Russian planes. They were just way too close without any warning and without any invitation by our forces. That commander didn't do it, and he probably spared the life of that Russian pilot by making that decision, or even the danger to our own men and women in uniform. I called the Soviet ambassador, Kislyak, whom I've come to know in Washington, and I told him, you know, why are you doing this? This kind of a hot dog stunt and get people killed, or even worse.
Right.
Oh, it's our every right to fly in these waters and so forth. I just don't accept that. This is a provocative action. It's kind of a cowboy approach to the Cold War that is dangerous. And I hope that Putin stops and stops soon. At some point, defending themselves, we may find ourselves with confrontation.
Right. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Very dangerous. Think about what steps do you think could be taken to deter Russian aggression, Senator?
Well, I know what's happening. I mean, I know that Secretary Kerry and Ash Carter, our Secretary of Defense, are in touch with the Russians, you know, telling them that this is dangerous. It is no longer just a minor irritation. It is a provocation. And for the safety of our own men and women in uniform who are on those ships that are being buzzed by these planes, at some point they may strike back. And that would be a horrible outcome.
Right.
I can tell you the diplomatic channels are buzzing.
Senator, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Senator Durbin.
Good to be with you both.
All
thanks.
Right. Judy Pollack's got the news coming up at the top of the hour, then a top five at five you won't believe. Richard Roper is going to tell us if that new gigantic action movie where the superheroes fight the other superheroes,
mm-hmm.
and then they have another fight, and then there's one more fight. Oh, wait, no, there's another fight just broke out.
Sounds like a lot of action.
If that is worth seeing, that's all coming your way in the 5 o'clock hour.
Hi, I'm
Hold on 1 second. Feel that a powder medic. Before I know, Andrea always wants to tell you about that trip to Greece. But before she does,